You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You're listening to 94 WIPHE1 Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Tasty Cake Studios. Back to the phone in a moment, but we just heard about Trey Turner yesterday and the awesomeness. Let's hear that and more. A montage of last night's awesome, or yesterday's awesome Phillies win.
We're gonna need a montage. Ooh, it takes a montage.
Come on, hit deep. Down the right field line, and that ball is gone. Into the lower seats, just over the railing, down the right field line, and Max Kepler with a home run, his 13th of the season, and the Phillies now lead it 3-1.
The 0-2, swing and a miss, struck him out. There's number 12 for Jesus Luzardo.
Grounded pass, Suarez, into left field, a base hit. Marsh will come home and score. Bader is around to third, and Bryson Stott with his third hit of the day, and it's now 4-2 Phillies. Swinging a ground ball, right side, it's through. Onto the glove of Naylor, in to score is Stott. Here comes Turner, the throw, gets by at the plate. Both runners score. Phillies lead it 7-2 as Schwarber takes second on the overthrow.
Swinging a tapper towards the middle of the infield. Young backhand, the throw to first, not in time. It's a five-hit game for Trey Turner. 9-2 Phillies. Swung on, hit high and deep, right field. And that is gone. Just cleared over the railing, first row.
And Kyle Schwarber with home run number 45 puts an exclamation point on a series sweep for the Phillies. It's 11-2. It's a five RBI game for the major league leader.
It's hit sharply, but right at second. Stott has it. Fires to first, and the sweep is complete. Their fourth win in a row, 11-2 the final, as the Phillies take all three from Seattle.
And just in dominant fashion, the bats get going. The best series of the season. Ben, would you agree with that? You think it was the best series of the season for the Bills?
It was the best series in the last 5 years.
Whoa!
Yeah.
They did everything right. That is a statement right there.
They did everything right. I mean, everything. They pitched it. They caught it. They ran the bases like wizards. And obviously, they hit it. It was just remarkable to watch them play those three games.
So how much do you think, because we've talked a lot about the galvanizing force of the Wheeler injury and all that. I get in the moment, like this just happened. They're feeling it. There's all this emotion and stuff. How can they sustain this? How can they take this weekend, this moment, and prolong it so that it can carry them for the 2.5 months it would need to?
I think they can not try and make it better. It's like, I just hit a ball 450 feet. Next at bat, I'm going to go hit one 475. No, that 450 was good enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they just, They just played really fundamental baseball, but they did it in such a fashion. They had 15 strikeouts over three games. That's it.
Yeah.
They had 15 strikeouts.
Yeah. 21-hit game, a 19-hit game.
But they struck out 45, and they had 48 hits in those three games.
Yeah.
They only had 15 strikeouts. The approach was, I played in Seattle with Danny Wilson, the manager for Seattle.
For the Seattle, yeah.
I played with him. He was my locker partner
for three years. Not Buzz from WIP.
No.
Different Dan Wilson, correct. Yes.
And I went in and talked to Danny yesterday before the game for about 45 minutes. And he was so impressed with the approach, the two-strike approach. And that is something we have not seen out of the Phillies. At times we have. We saw it in the recent road trip when they went to Texas. And then they went to Cincinnati. It was completely different. So I think they have what they see now is, I think it's sustainable in the fact that they don't have to make it any better. They realize what they have and what they're built for and that their time is now. And I think this whole Wheeler thing has kind of galvanized them and said, you know what, we're just human beings. That's all we are. But we get to play baseball at the highest level in a great city in front of the best fan base. And I think they kind of took that and ran with it.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm with you. And I do think, like we talked about before, John, that a galvanizing force, any sort of thing like this could be one. But Ben made an interesting point before about like stepping back and thinking about life and thinking about where these guys are in their careers and all that. And I think the specific injury to Wheeler, it being something that is, you know, bigger than baseball, I do think that that might even have a more profound impact than if it was just, oh, we lost. I mean, losing Wheeler is going to have an impact, but yes. I think the way they lost Wheeler might be more profound because of what it makes them step back and think. You know what I mean?
I think when they step back now, they're playing like it could be taken away from them. And that's what they see in Zach Wheeler, and so it's that much more palpable and real in their experience. They didn't have to experience it themselves, but this guy that they love, the best pitcher, their leader, their guy who always has an answer, you know, when we need him.
Yeah.
He's not able to do this thing anymore, and he might not, but no one knows.
Yeah, and that's such a good point. I think that uncertainty has to add to all of it. And again, I think it's much John, I think that's such a good point of way of putting it, of they feel like it could be taken away from them at any moment. I think you feel that more when it's a blood clot out of nowhere than like, oh, he tore his you know, he's got to have Tommy John. Like, because they're desensitized to that. Like, right. Yeah, you use the guy for the year, but it's like, oh, we understand that. That happens to everybody. Like, I get it. This is something that feels so out of nowhere and so unexpected that I would think it hits harder in that way.
It's like this guy loves doing what he does for a living, but now he can't do it. But yet we still get to do it. So let's go out and make the most of it.
Totally. Right. Totally. Yeah. It's fascinating.
No doubt.
Yeah. 215-592-9494 to chime in on all of it. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Jordan in Princeton. What up, Jordan?
What a great day at Citizens Bank Park yesterday. In addition to a beautiful Phillies performance, it was not 98 degrees. I did not get caught on the broadcast and outed to my coworkers for seeing a baseball game.
Good job, buddy. Good job.
So, yeah, that happened a couple of times this year. I can't say enough about how energized I feel after watching that game in person. I mean, pick any part of the team that you want to applaud. The approach at the plate showed discipline that I feel like I haven't seen, to Ben Davis's point, in 5 years. These were quality at-bats from everybody. No one's chasing.
Why were they doing it 5 years ago?
I don't think they were.
It's probably longer than 5 years.
we didn't see this since the 08-09 team.
Yeah.
And the feeling when these guys are stepping up into the box, it's they're looking to outdo each other. They're not even worried about Seattle. They're just worried about who's going to get more RBIs in this game than the next guy. And you could feel it sitting right by the dugout. Incredible energy coming from the dugout. I watched Kevin Long bear hug Harrison Bader and lift him off the ground. Like, that is what I want to see out of a team right now. That's how I want to see these guys coming together.
I've always believed in the hitting is contagious thing. Like, I just believe that. Like, I do think that you want, like, when guys are hitting, everyone else hits. Like, I know it's like an ineffable thing. Like, there's not
a thing,
but it's real. Like, my whole life playing baseball, when I played it, when I watched it, like, I've always believed hitting is contagious. Like,
I agree.
I think it's true.
How about throwing strikes is contagious? We had three starters and not our prime starters each throw double-digit strikes in this series. You know, I would always say, I've said on the show this week, you can get two or three things, starting pitching, your bullpen, and your offense. We actually put all three together when all of and stuff either recently or just a couple of months ago. There was one thing that I did see yesterday that was hugely concerning, and that was Nick Castellanos' body language in the dugout.
That's interesting.
I have never seen a guy more miserable walking into the clubhouse after a sweep where you hit 45 times in three games. It looked like somebody peed in his cornflakes.
Well, I mean, Rob Thomson kind of did, I guess, right? Like, you know, he's sitting games. He's not playing. Like, we saw how mad Nick got when he got pulled out of a game as a defensive replacement in the ninth inning of a game, and it led to a blow up and him getting sat benched for a game and all that. This is him sitting games. Like, you're not in the lineup today, pal. Take a seat. I'm not surprised by it. I think it's the right decision. Jordan, we're not there. That's something when you're in the ballpark, you can see body language and how someone is in the dugout a lot better and stuff. But that is super concerning to me. Like, I don't like the idea of Nick Castellanos pouting. Like, grow up, dude.
No, he looked like a problem yesterday. And I'm a fan of his. And when he's on, he's on. And he made some of the most consequential catches in recent Phillies memory to keep us alive in the playoffs. But I got to tell you, this platoon thing is not going to work for a guy like Nick Castellanos. They either got to play him or sit him, but that's going to be a growing problem.
Yeah,
in the
no, it's going to be fascinating.
In my opinion.
And he's a big part of that clubhouse. All right, Jordan, you got an answer for us?
I don't know if your daughter has seen this. It's an older movie at this point, but when I was a kid, Babe, That'll Do Pig.
Ah, That'll Do Pig. Good answer. That's funny. So my daughter's not seen it, but we say That'll Do Pig in our house 50 times a week. Like, in every situation, my wife and I was like, That'll Do Pig. You know, so that is a...
Put some pork on your fork.
There you go. Well, I was, you know, wow, I would not go from talking about Babe to eating Babe, but sure, we can go that way.
Has been about Bambi.
Right, I know, yeah.
I used to think we were going to eat my dog when died. When I was a little kid, I remember thinking that's just what you did.
Oh,
like,
no.
We went out, my dad went out and he killed pheasants and we would eat them. He would go kill deer and we would eat them.
I get it.
I really did. Yeah. I thought that it was a logical step.
That must have been a really terrifying
thing to believe
as a child.
The Brittany Spaniel died, that we would eat her too.
Oh no.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I was a little kid.
Jesus Christmas.
And then she passed away. And I wasn't sure if we ate her.
Oh, my God, John.
And then, this is unbelievable.
Don't we have a break soon?
Hey, think about
this. Please go to
break,
James.
We would go to my Uncle Kirby's farm, and we would pick out a steer, and he would slaughter it for us, and we would eat that steer that whole year, you know, from the basement freezer. So then I just thought Sammy, the chocolate lab...
Chocolate,
you know,
being the operative word.
The
there.
Chocolate that was going to be on the menu when she passed away.
I can't.
Like to remind you that your fact this morning was that cows have best friends.
That's true. Rhea, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Young John Ritchie, weird kid.
Yeah. I mean, how many paint chips did you eat?
215-592-9494.
You're living off the land.
To talk Phillies, Eagles, or John's childhood, if you want to call in and comment on that. We'll take those calls, 215-592. Now, if there is someone else out there who thought that you hate dogs, I'm dying.
Please don't call.
I want to know. I want to know if John...
I don't know if there is.
Because that's the point. I think it is actually possible that John is the only person in human history who has thought this way, so I'm intrigued to know if there's another one. There we go. Little talking heads. Better than Duran deep cuts. Thank you, Justin D'Orazio. Can't go wrong with David Byrne, as far as I'm concerned. We have a correction to make. They have not finished the season series against the Dodgers. They won 2-3 against the Dodgers here.
They go out there.
They go out there.
Yeah.
So big series. It'll be September 15th, 16th, and 17th in L.A., with potentially the 2 seed on the line, then, depending on how the next month shakes out until then. But that'll be a pretty big series out there.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Three straight 10-10 games, so that should be a lot of fun for us in the mornings. Those 10-10 games that we'll have to stay up for, so that'll be fun. We'll have to plan accordingly, but that'll be a big series against the Dodgers coming up in September. 215-592-9494. Later this segment, I want to get John and Ben and Rhea's thoughts on something that happened in the Phillies game last night that we have not talked about yet, but that I didn't love. We're going to get to that, and there wasn't much. Not much to love last night. We'll get to that coming up in a couple minutes. Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's annual sizzling summer saving event is on now. Visit ArminChevy.com for details. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. Our question today is, do you believe in Bryson Stott again? Do you believe in this turnaround? We heard about the mechanical adjustment earlier from Rob Thompson. I think that's a reason to believe. I think there's a chance Bryson Stott maybe has figured out what he had lost and could get back to being the guy we saw in 2022 and 2023, who made such a second half of 2022 and 2023, who made such a difference for this team.
I had every pitch of his first at bat on the post game show yesterday. I asked our producer if we can get every pitch. He goes down 0-2 in that at bat to Castillo. And there was a man on third base, less than two outs. There's one out. He goes down 0-2. And he ended up seeing, I think, maybe 10 pitches.
It's awesome.
Hits a double to right center.
It was awesome.
One of the best at-bats I've seen all season. And you're thinking, okay, he's down 0-2 against Castillo, who's really good. And he just battled his tail off and just was able to get the run across. And that's something we haven't seen out of him. But I do think this mechanical change, it's more simple. It's a more simple approach, and boy, is it working!
Yeah, it's been massive. Yeah, and we love him. You know, we're big Bryson Stott fans on this show. John, you've long been a supporter of Stott,
and I was getting pretty despondent.
I think we all were.
It just wasn't computing. It didn't make sense. How did this guy, who always had such a good eye and just a great feel for baseball,
good at bats.
Always good at bats. He'd always ring up and, you know, great. Always put a lot of stress on opposing pitchers. You knew he was going to give you that at the very least. And now, man, it just felt he took six steps back. It wasn't just a couple. And I guess that's the frustration compounding the problems and everything everything else that goes into that. But it's wonderful. You can't talk about more perfect timing for this team's sake. And the idea that we talked about earlier that we could have the double leadoff idea with him at 9 coming around to Trey at 1. Two guys with that sort of speed getting on with the regularity that we're seeing now with this new added layer of intensity that the team is employing when they take the diamond. Man, we really, this is the kind of intensity, the urgency that it feels like we've been hoping for all along. You know, you just want to be sure that they don't get it all out of their system too early.
Right, exactly. 215, yeah, we're still 6 weeks from the playoffs. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a few minutes, something that I didn't love at the game last night, literally probably the only thing. By the way, another correction by me. I said the Eugenio Suarez home run was the one that Lizardo threw the super low pitch. That was J-Rod. That was Julio Rodriguez earlier in the game. I got those confused. But not much.
That's
not
it. We're done with you.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm sorry. I'm done for the day. Not much not to like.
Beautiful eyes, by the way. J-Rod.
Also just has that effervescence to him. Al Horford.
Horford and J-Rod Rodriguez.
Julio has an effervescence too. Like he's got that kind of just joy that you see out there. That
it seems that way.
He does, right? Yeah. Yeah. And like that's, you love to see that. I mean,
loving
he's playing
life,
a kid's
loving his job.
Yeah.
Great at it.
44, you got to love that as a number too. You're a big four guy.
I mean, I'm a big four guy.
I know you are.
Four is good. You like the number four?
Lou Gehrig.
There you go.
My favorite baseball player ever.
Wow. I didn't know that. You never saw him play, though.
No, I didn't.
Very Joe DiCamera of you to say Lou Gehrig is your favorite.
How can you say that?
I'll say Darren Dalton.
That's a better answer.
My all-time favorite athlete is Wilma Rudolph, and she competed in the 1962 Olympics, I loved her story.
Well, I get the story thing. A little less, it's a runner, so you don't see runners as much. Like, to say your favorite baseball player is somebody you never saw is
not
weird.
And when
weird.
In 86 or whenever Zola Budd interfered with Mary Decker Slaney, I made sure I was in front of the TV to watch
it. There you go.
I was a big track fan.
Right. Being, though, that I'm sorry, it's weird to say your favorite athlete is somebody you never saw. I have to say that. I'm sorry, even for you. And I think your answer is better than Ben's, but still. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a minute. Again, the one thing I
named my dog after her. Her nickname was Skeeter because she buzzed around like a mosquito.
Did you eat the dog when?
Oh, that's a good question.
I did not eat the dog.
Because I heard that families do that. Or at least children believe that families will do that.
Had her for 16 years. She was a beauty. I loved her.
Let's talk to Ken and Cinnamon. What up, Kenny?
Good morning, friends. Hope you're having a great day.
You were until John thought he ate his dog.
We're having a hell of a day, yes. You didn't eat the dog, everybody.
It wasn't just one dog. I thought I ate multiple dogs.
I'm trying to pull him out of the hole, and the hole keeps getting.
I didn't know. Like, they used to do things like my dad killed a caribou. So
those exist in Mechanicsburg?
No, he went up to the Arctic Circle and brought a caribou back.
What?
A reindeer. He went and killed a reindeer, and then they would like trick me by putting reindeer in the stew. You know, like they knew that I was going to be like, ooh, it tastes, you know, caribou, it tastes very gamey.
Sure.
And so I wasn't as big a fan of the caribou as I was of the beef from Uncle Kirby.
Sure.
Or the dog.
That's the thing.
Quotes.
I don't know. I don't know. It tastes different. It tastes like different meat. I didn't know what that meat was.
Important question.
I didn't know if it was a caribou or if it was a dog
or if
it was a pheasant or if whatever it was. We ate all sorts of stuff.
But it all tastes like chicken.
Important question here. How old were you when this was happening? I think that's an important qualifier.
Well, I mean, we're talking about my childhood.
Like 14.
that's an excellent point.
Right,
very different.
So I'm positive. We're talking elementary school.
Okay, good. Right. Good. That's okay. Good to hear. All right, Ken, the floor is yours, my friend.
Before I get to Phillies, John, you have become more loquacious since you started your radio career here, and the more that leaks out about your childhood that you share, the more it explains how you became the enigma that you are.
Yeah, I'm with that, Ken. Yeah. I think that's well said. Yeah.
So, two things about the Phillies, I think. First of all, the comments that Rob Thompson made about the outfield in general, the one thing that I think it also says is that Justin Crawford's not coming up here anytime soon.
Because I don't think so either, yeah.
He's got too many outfielders that can play every day. Two guys at opposite ends of the spectrum, but in terms of importance. I think for a lot of the season, you could make the argument that the biggest hole in the lineup has been Bryson Stott, because Bryson Stott is an everyday player, and the expectations for what we were going to get out of Bryson Stott and what we have gotten out of Bryson Stott so far have been so far apart that it really upended the entire lineup at the bottom of the lineup. So if Bryson Stott has figured it out and locked it in, that says a lot of good things about what the offense is going to look like, what the lineup's going to look like going forward.
Man, I hope so.
The other side of that is, look, Trey Turner has been a whipping boy around here for a long time, right? And I know a lot of it has to do with the contract, but right now Trey Turner has, and everybody loves WAR. I mean, that's what we put people in Hall of Fame for, WAR now. Trey Turner has the highest WAR on the team. He has the second highest WAR in Major League Baseball at his position, behind only Bobby Witt Jr. He's fielding better this year than Lindor. So, you know, the kind of narrative that's been out there about, you know, Trey Turner is just this giant defensive liability, and he hasn't been who we need him to be. I think he leads the league in hits, or he's second in the league in hits.
Yeah, I believe he leads. He certainly leads the National League in hits. I think he leads the league overall. And to your point, Ken, we talked about this earlier. Yeah, he's been that's why I'm not even going to say average. He's been good defensively over the last 2 months. Like, good.
He leads the National League in hits by 15.
Yeah, he's just he's been awesome, man. He's been awesome.
He has become a better player, and you've got to give credit to guys that are, you know, 30, 31, 32.
Yeah.
Kyle Schwarber's the same thing.
Yes.
So you see that they put in the work and they
100%,
get
better. Ken.
Yes.
I mean, like, Schwarber's numbers against lefties, like, Schwarber has the most home runs against lefties, lefty relievers of anyone ever. Him and Barry Bonds, the most in a season.
Yeah.
Like, think 11. About that. This is a guy who hit 188 in 2022 for this team. Like, he's back to 50 while still doing the home run. I'm with you.
I so respect a guy who has all made it to where Kyle Schwarber has made it. Right? And then it was last year he decided to expand his repertoire or 2 years ago, whatever it was, as a leadoff guy. It was last year, where he did what we needed him to do. He needed to change the way he played baseball at that stage of his career. And he did it so swimmingly.
Yeah.
And now he's been asked.
He's gotten even better.
He's been asked to move.
He's gotten better. Somehow.
And he's even better than last year. Yeah. Tip your hat.
It's a lot
easier
to be the leader in the clubhouse guy when you're doing that stuff. When you're setting an example, We talk about that with Hertz a lot. Ken, you got an answer for us for a non-human character?
Yeah, just the last thing I'll say is that I don't know if they can win the World Series without Zach Wheeler, but the one thing I never expected this team to quit. So the fact that they haven't, I never expected these guys to fold up the tent.
Yeah.
Because
I'm with you. No, they're resilient. And you rephrase, Ken, they absolutely can win the World Series without Zach Wheeler. You don't know if they will.
Well,
because they absolutely can. You've got to admit that. We saw that the Braves win without Cunha. We've seen so many guys go down and teams win without them. Like, they absolutely can win the World Series. It's just a question of if they will.
If I absolutely knew right now who was going to win a World Series, I would probably be a wealthy man.
Of course. That's the point. I'm saying you just said, I don't know if they can win the World Series. I'm like, I'm going Joe on you, but I think it's important here because we keep doing this thing where it's like the Phillies can't win the World. Oh, they can't hit. Well, the Phillies absolutely can win the World Series. Like 100% can this season win the World Series. They might not. Losing Wheeler hurts. They probably won't. Like, odds are they won't.
Right.
But they absolutely can. Like, we got to stop saying they can't. They absolutely can. They might not, though. You know?
Well,
I mean, you're a literalist. You care about words, right? You agree that they can.
Well, sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's my point. I just think we say can't, and I think that that is such a pejorative term there where it's like they can't do it. They absolutely can do it. They can. You got an answer, Ken?
I've got to give a nod to the brilliance of Stanley Kubrick, and I'm going to go with Hal.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's a fascinating one. David? David? Don't do that, David.
We have the second best odds to the odds that I just looked up. We have the second best odds to win the World Series.
Yeah, they have
of
the second
course,
best odds.
Of course, we've got a great
point.
Shot.
I just people
to
always
win
say that
the World Series. It's it. Yeah, we should.
We
keep
go too
an
far
open
with
mind
that. We go too far with that.
To the greatness of what we've got right now and what we could become as we move closer to the postseason.
All right, I'm interested to see if the panel here agrees with me that they didn't love this, and I get it. I have no problem with supporting a guy, but I'm going to play some Rob Thompson audio in relation to something that happened last night, and it was just a little much for me. The Jose Alvarado return. Okay? For those who don't know, Alvarado pitched last night for the first time, came in, and he got a standing ovation from the crowd. Rob Thompson commented on it. Here's what Thompson said after the game.
What did you think of the ovation that Alvarado got?
I thought it was great. I really do. You know, I was a little bit concerned about it. I didn't know how our fan base would react, but I think they understand that it was an honest mistake. And I really love the fact that they welcomed him back.
No one believes it was an honest mistake,
no,
Rob.
No.
Not one person believes it was an honest mistake. Maybe one. Maybe you can find one.
And it was funny. I had this comment. Justin asked me about it, that he was really angry. And I said, I look at this two different ways. I'm sitting at home really angry with Jose Alvarado as I'm watching him pitch going, dude, you're not available to us. Like, this is really infuriating.
Mm-hmm.
However, if I had been at the stadium, I believe things are different there for the people who are there for one reason. The team is playing really well.
Yeah, they're winning. They're up
they're
a
winning.
Bunch of runs. It was the right spot to bring Alvarado in.
It was the right spot
to
bring him in.
Yeah.
And if the fan base there in the bank had booed, I think
it would have felt weird.
It would have been, well, it would have been a bad taste in the mouth for the players.
I think
they wouldn't have liked it. And I think the people in the stadium were smart enough to recognize
I don't
that.
Think they should have booed. I just, we're not giving this guy a standing ovation.
I agree
nonsense.
With that, but
I don't want
that was, yeah. that
Topper
was, that
putting
was dumb.
Words
like,
in
I'm
my
sorry.
Mouth.
That too.
I don't want him
I was
telling
not
me.
I don't believe it was 100%. I don't believe Jose Alvarado purposefully
it's not
took
honest.
Soundbites. Like,
it's not an honest mistake. I do not understand, and I resent you for what you've done to this team, putting us in a bind, hurting our chances. We just talked about the fact that we have the second best odds to win the World Series. Our odds are worse because of you, Jose Alvarado. And I do not forgive you. I do not understand. And I don't want our coach telling me that I forgive him. I don't.
No.
I'm mad.
I am
and
too.
And I'm scrutinizing every single pitch. And I'm saying, you know what? He's going to overpitch this because he's trying to make up for, you know, like the fake, the lie. It was a lie. He was, and I resent that so much.
Yeah, it really bothered me. Again, like, I have no problem not booing him. I agree with you, Rhea. I think when you're winning that much in that spot, it would have felt weird to have a boo come out for your player.
In the building.
In the building. Exactly.
The building, yeah.
But you don't have to get up and give him a standing ovation.
No,
like, this guy hurt the Phillies in 100%. A massive way. I believe he did it knowingly. Who knows if he did or didn't? That's fine. I'll say we don't know for sure. I personally believe he absolutely knew what he was doing. If nothing else, he knew he was putting something in his body that might be an issue. Whether or not he knew that
you
it was going to get him
your
in trouble.
Your job is to check with
your
the
job
team.
Is to
I'm
know
mad.
What you're putting in your body. That's
I'm
the
mad,
job.
But I do think that I can also get like overzealous in my angst toward Jose Alvarado.
Agree. Yes. I'm not saying boo him. I'm just saying don't give him a standing ovation.
It's
yeah,
not
a
an
difference.
Honest mistake,
sure.
But it's a dumb choice, and at some point I'm gonna have to
it's a
let
bad
that
choice
go
he
too.
Made. Yeah,
you need to do everything you can, bend over backwards to help this team now. Like, you can do a lot in terms of saving the arms of a lot of our bullpen
totally.
Now.
Absolutely,
I need to see that. You know, it's going to be like sort of the long road to perdition almost. Like, let's see how hard he works to make this team better now that he's back.
It's just his penance, so to speak.
Yeah, sort of.
No, it's fascinating.
Sadly.
Ben, your thoughts on the ovation last night and the situation?
Well, I mean, fans are going to do what they want to do.
Sure.
That's the bottom line. I probably don't necessarily agree with Topper in the fact, and I love Rob Thompson. Let's put that out there. I don't think you could say it was an honest mistake. I think in this day and age, no matter what I'm going to put in my body, 100%. I'm going to run it through the proper channels to make sure.
They make those channels very clear to the guys.
I mean,
it's very clear.
If there's any doubt whatsoever.
Yeah, just don't take it.
Just don't take it. Or wait until they say, you know what, you can take that.
Yeah.
And then you can take it.
Yeah. No, there's no question that at best he acted like a moron. Like, that's the best case scenario is he was just incredibly stupid. Worst case scenario, he did it knowingly. And if I had to bet, I would bet more likely towards the knowing than the total innocent mistake. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to hear from Max Kepler. Justin D'Orazio, Rhea said you were fired up about the Alvarado thing. You pissed off about this?
Yeah, I just think it's a loser move to get suspended for PEDs in this modern age. I mean, I was like, Fernando Tatis Jr. was one of my favorite players in the league. And then he did it and tried to play it off as it was a ringworm medication. Mm-hmm. And I've called him a loser since that day. And I'm going to hold that same weight.
I like this. He's got a hard player line on my team. On this.
It's absolutely loser mentality. You get paid millions of dollars to run by your team what you're putting in your body.
Doubt.
And if you choose not to, frankly, I don't even want him on the team. And I'm with you with what you've been saying. Throw until his arm falls off.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would just bury him.
Pissed.
Bury him.
It bothers me that people gave him a standing ovation, but what Rhea said made a lot of sense to me.
I think Rhea nailed the why of
this standing
ovation.
In the season, especially after the Wheeler situation.
But again,
it makes a lot of sense.
They could have not done a standing ovation. They could have just not clapped. It's like, Jose Alvarado comes in. Okay, we're just going to sit here and go about our business.
That's what I would have done.
That's what I would have done. There's no way I'm standing up and clapping in that spot. That's for sure. 215-592-9494. Some interesting audio from Max Kepler. We've been talking a lot about the outfield situation. We hear from Kepler on that situation. I thought he had some really interesting things to say. That's coming up in just a minute. Let's talk to Chuck and Cherry. What up, Chuck?
Hey, good morning, team. Jason, good job calling our good buddy Kenny out on that. He's on the fence, and I'm trying to get
him. Because Ken's a literalist. Ken will come in and be like, well, you said this exactly like this. And then, I got to call him out on it because they can. Yeah.
That will bother Ken all day. Are you proud of yourself?
I hope so. I hope so. I got one over on you, Ken.
It already does. I already got the text. But
I love you, Ken.
Truth be told, we love Ken. What a great
Ken's,
human.
Ken's
man.
The man.
But, and everybody used the term war. My phone blew up. They say, yo, Chuck, you're wearing off of this guy when Kenny starts using terms like war.
I did feel like when he was talking about the Trey Turner defense and war,
right.
I was like, oh, Chuck from Jerry Hill's on the line right now. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Of course, we're all just ecstatic over that series. I think Seattle asked for a police escort to get the heck out of town.
That was going to be a long flight back home.
For them, I think for us, we're like, stay. We'll play you guys every night. Yeah, please.
Man, I mean,
not their weather. We don't want their weather anymore.
No,
please take it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I mean, Gilbert, their ace pitcher, who averages 12 Ks per nine, we just lit him up. I mean, it did look like a fair contest. But here's a stat, because you guys have already illuminated some of the great stats offensively. Here's one that's just uncanny. So in that series, we walk 10 times and we strike out 15. That ratio is obviously very healthy. Here's Seattle. They walked 6 times in 3 games and they struck out 46. 646 walk to strikeout ratio. You won't see that again.
No, that's nuts. Yeah, that's nuts.
That is absolutely bizarre. And at home now, we've hit 800 OPS. You don't see 800 OPS anywhere. The
Braves for a team? Yeah, that's nuts. For a team OPS, that's really impressive.
During that season, you said? I'm sorry, during this series, we were 800?
No, I'm sorry.
This season
at home. This season.
Yeah, that series, they were probably over 900.
At home, 800 OPS for the season sounds phenomenal.
It's really, really, really good.
Yeah, and I think they still have 22 home games left.
They do have a lot of home games left. I believe it's 37 games left, 22 of them at home. I mean, they're in again, 6.5 games up on the Mets today. The Mets, I think it would have to, I did the math quickly last night, something like the Mets would have to go, if the Phillies play one game under 500, because there's an even uneven game, if they go 18 and 19, the Mets would have to go 29 and 10 the rest of the way to pass them.
That's not happening. Now, the Dodgers now, you guys have been talking about the right field situation, which is really now morphed into a conundrum for a lot of reasons. But the Dodgers now, you heard this yesterday, are having conversations with Betts. Betts has approached the manager and said, I'll go back.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, Other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To right field, this is interesting. Four of the World Series games last year were two or one run games, and they're saying that the difference in the World Series, one of the chief differences, there's a lot, of course, was the play between Betts versus Soto in right field, how it impacted net run results. It gets a little complicated, but if you look at DRS in the World Series, they're saying that the right field play for the Yankees was so inferior versus Betts' saving runs. So now they're channeling Betts talking to Roberts about going back out to right field.
That's fascinating.
But they have guys that can play shortstop.
Well, look, and the Phillies are in a spot where they have two right fielders, and one of them, like Max Kepler, is a right below Gold Glove right fielder. Like, he's not Gold Glove, but he's pretty damn good right fielder. I mean, he is light years better than Castellanos out there.
Yeah, when you have a negative WAR player this late in the season, you have to circle that.
He's one of the worst players. Problem. According to WAR, Nick Castellanos is one of the 9 worst regulars in the sport this year.
In all of baseball.
And my eyes.
So hard,
no, I know.
True.
Chuck, great call. True. You got an answer for us?
I'm sure Mickey Mouse has been said.
No, it has not been said.
Oh, man.
Matt, great job, Chuck. Great job. Really good answer there. Mickey Mouse late in the show there. That's a big one. 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Max Kepler. I thought this was interesting. Kepler was asked about the four outfielder thing. And, you know, we've kind of seen, we haven't heard a ton from Nick Castellanos. We have a few quotes where Castellanos was originally the one who said that, Bader was frustrated and Topper wanted to get him some playing time. He's cool with that. Here's another quote from Nick Castellanos. Castellanos was asked if his relationship is still strong with Rob Thompson. He said, "He's my manager. We work together. I think there's a level of respect." So it's a fine answer, you know, a little weird the way he phrased it, but Nick's weird the way he phrases things. Max Kepler talked about the four outfielders. By the way, tell me if you guys think that when he talks, and I noticed this the last time we heard from Kepler, Am I crazy, or does he kind of sound like Nick Castellanos a little bit? The way he talks, like the cadence, and the way he talks. Just keep that in the back of your mind. Here's Max Kepler talking about the four outfielder thing.
You've obviously been swinging the bat much better. Even the outs are look better.
Thank you.
But yet you're in this rotation with kind of four guys for three spots. How are you guys all handling this?
You know, you kind of just have to be unselfish about the whole thing and believe in that collective that I spoke about a couple weeks back and see the big picture, you know. A lot of times in this game, you're told to be selfish in a positive way, and to protect your career, you want to be on the field, right? But in this case, we want to win the World Series, so whatever is needed from one of us, we go out there and... everyone seems to have a positive energy, even if they're not playing, you know, so that also helps from the dugout.
Great answer from Kepler. It's exactly what
he sounds like
Castellanos, right? Doesn't he? Am I crazy? I feel like the cadence, kind of the way he...
Sort of crazy.
You don't hear it?
Maybe a little.
I totally hear it. Just DeRozio,
I think it might be a modern cadence, like if we interviewed a bunch of the guys, maybe even the outfielders.
Nah. I think it sounds a lot
doesn't
like
sound
it.
Like well, that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm telling
doesn't
you, the,
sound like that.
The cadence, maybe, I don't know. I don't pick it up the same
maybe,
way.
Maybe, I don't know. DeRozio, are you with me on it?
Yeah, I thought he sounded like Castellanos.
I think
Harper
so
doesn't sound
like
that because he's from the West Coast.
Yeah, no, I just think there's something about it. Maybe it's both the cadence and also the tone of voice. He's kind of got a little raspiness, whatever it is. But I don't know. I think it sounds a lot like Nick Castellanos. I think it's fascinating. But yeah, I thought it an interesting answer. And it's good to hear, you know, one of the guys at least being like, whatever is needed for me, I'm going to go out and do it. We're all going to support each other and all that. Because that's what, you know, I don't know that the other players are getting that from Nick. I'm not saying they're not. We don't know. But, like, we've already seen Nick get upset at Rob Thompson. We've seen him kind of be a little short. We saw him, you know, get benched because he freaked out in Miami when he got benched. Like, I don't know how this Castellanos everyday thing is going to play out.
How do you anticipate the vibe, the dynamic between Weston Wilson and Nick Castellanos, you know?
Well, I think Weston Wilson's kind of that. I think he's the bench guy. Like, I think this is more of a four. They've been talking about the four outfielders splitting time.
Okay, so we're now
Weston Wilson,
excluding
yeah,
him
Yeah, I think
from
Weston
this,
Wilson is more of a...
specialized as
I think he'll face a lefty. Like, when it's a really tough lefty, they'll get Wes Wilson in there because he's really good against lefties. Yeah. But I think Wes Wilson is the last guy on the bench in the playoffs. Like, he is
so
not...
So we're just going to count the four.
Well, that's what Topper was talking about. That's what Kepler was talking about. They've talked about these four guys as being the, you know, whether it's Castellanos, Kepler, Bader, and Marsh. Like, those are the four guys who are going to play the most. The question is, how does it all shake out? Ben, what do you make of the whole outfield thing?
I think whoever hits is going to play. I think that's where Rob Thompson is at. I think it's where the organization
is at. Which would be awesome. That's what we
at.
Want. Yeah.
You know, I think they realize that this is, I said this earlier, the window is now. And I think they're going to put their emotions aside and just worry about who's hitting at the time.
From what you've seen, is this something that leads to an increase in the hitting part? You know, because we know that the guys are going to be putting more pressure on themselves. This is a competitive situation when guys are basically pitted against one another on the same team in a, you know, does it yield better results for the team, or does it lead to guys trying to do too much and
I think it only can lead to better results for the ball club because if these guys, if they live up to their potential, if they do their job and they continue to hit, they're the ones that are going to see more playing time.
Yeah.
So it's only going to help the ball club out as a whole. I know baseball is a very, you know, obviously team-oriented sport, but the better you are individually at your position, the better the team is.
Well, it's such a fascinating thing because it is baseball is both a massive team sport while also being an individual game. It's the it's the most unique of the sport of the team sports in that way, where it's batter versus pitcher, it's mano a mano. You know, it's a matchup, it's a one on one. But you need your fielders to feel for you.
Exactly.
You need your runners to run. You need, you know, like all that stuff.
Like Saquon is, he could be the best running back in the world, but if he doesn't have an offensive line
to
block
we
for him,
saw
he's
it.
Not going to. He's
we
not, exactly.
Saw it.
We saw it in New York.
Yeah.
He would, you know, that's. But from a baseball standpoint, it's a little different from that aspect.
No, it's fascinating. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Jeremy in Vineland. What up, Jer?
Yeah, so real quick, my sole interest when I'm watching sports is what's going on in the game. The outside elements I don't really gravitate towards that. But last night's game, that was one of the biggest games I've seen yesterday with, like, so many awesome plays. You know what the best play was last night? when Kepler hit that bullet to right field and that kid barehands it and just explodes. Like, I don't know if you guys caught that yesterday. That was awesome.
You're talking about the home run?
Barehand. Yeah, dude.
That little kid in
awesome.
The stands.
It was awesome. Yeah, they showed it on the broadcast. Like he was like a teenager. Yeah, but that was awesome.
Let's go.
There were a few cool fan moment things last night with the 100-year-old that they were showing. Like, there was a couple of neat, you know. And look, that's the thing about this team, Citizens Bank, when it's going, it becomes a whole communal thing between the team, the player, the fans. Like, we're all there in it. So, you know, I'm getting excited about playoff baseball, man. Let's go.
Yeah, just
it kind of feels like it's far away now. Too far.
Go ahead,
Jerry. It was just a really cool moment, man, to watch his mom take a picture of him holding the baseball. His hand was still shaking. Like, usually I don't get too excited about stuff like that, but, man, it was just really cool. I don't think they're going to put that kid in any highlights because he dropped the F-bomb, but if he could be part of, like, the commercial of the highlights, man, that would it was just an awesome moment to capture.
Well, that's awesome. Quick, and that's why that's the thing about, like, a championship run. If they finish off the thing, and, like, with the Eagles last year, it's like all these things that happen throughout the season become so much more meaningful and memorable and crystallized in your memory when it leads to something special at the end. It all just becomes part of this journey, so... You hope when these type of nights happens, these games, this Mariners series, that we look back and we remember these things as parts of that special journey, you know?
Yep, 100%. Yo, so I'll give you my answer real quick. It's not as classic as some of the other answers, but it is huge. The Shrek movies with Mike Myers.
Oh, Shrek is a big answer. Yeah. Jeremy, Shrek is a big answer. So I'll be completely honest, I've never loved Shrek.
No, me either.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
I love animated movies. Like, I watch them all. I like all the Pixar stuff. I think Pixar's never made a bad movie. Like, I think Toy Story 3 is one of the great movies ever made all time.
I don't like Toy Story 3, but
I know,
like,
we've fought about this before. It's the best Toy
Story. But I'm an animated fan like you.
Yeah, I love Shrek is just like,
Never liked it.
The first movie my wife and I ever watched together.
No way, really?
Yeah, first date.
Oh, look at you. What a wholesome first date that is. Look at that. The Davises.
We had supper, then we went back and watched the movie.
We had supper.
We had supper.
Did Meg make
Shrek?
You better believe it.
Yes.
Did Meg make
And then we went to bed at 7 o'clock.
She made it last night.
Apparently, James, Meg's meatloaf is legendary.
I love meatloaf.
It's busted.
I am a huge meatloaf fan. So
you got to bring it in for him next time Meg makes meatloaf.
Yeah, I mean,
how can
what
you
the
not
hell?
Be a meatloaf fan?
I totally agree.
Oh, I hate meatloaf.
How can you not be a Shrek fan?
Yeah,
they're taking fairy tales and fleshing them out even further.
I thought it was just okay.
I love that.
I love the idea of it.
It's
I watch
great.
It.
I thought it would be better.
Dude, I've watched Shrek 3 times.
Better.
Hoping that each time I go back to it, I will like it. Like, I'm trying. I've tried. I've watched Shrek 3
everyone
times.
Loves
I'll watch it.
It
again with Zoe. When she wants to watch it, I'll give it another shot. Maybe the fourth time will be the charm. I'm not saying it's bad. I just don't love it like everyone else does. It's fine.
It's okay.
I want to.
That causes
I'm open
me
to
I tried
love.
Meatloaf, and that was it for me. Ugh.
Oh, God. That is a worse take than the Shrek thing. Not liking meatloaf is definitely worse than
I used to beg my mom because, like, my brothers and sisters.
You all agree with that, right? I mean, meatloaf is the best. I mean,
no, they love it. My brothers and sisters love my mom's meatloaf. I would beg her to just put it aside and just make me a burger.
There was no better cafeteria food than meatloaf.
Ugh.
You know, if it was meatloaf day in the cafeteria, you knew you were winning.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart,
for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.